שלום לכולם, אנחנו בישיבת הקטע.
Hello everyone, this is our weekly writers meeting with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello.
שלום לכם.
Hello to all of you.
אנחנו נמשיך לדבר על נושאים אקטואליים.
And we will continue talking about relevant issues in a pretty global sense today. We're going to talk to you in this meeting about more problems, crises that occupy the world. On the other hand, well, we always hear you saying that we're in a very special situation that never happened. Dr. Lightman, that's not clear yet. Duty. It's clear that something special is happening, but... Okay, you say it's not slavery, it's not socialism, it's not communism, not all sorts of isms, but rather something completely new, different. Can you pinpoint what exactly is special and positive about this whole thing, this whole mess? Dr. Lightman, I don't see any mess here, or disorder. I see, to the contrary, I see very good order. We're all stuck in our apartments, with our own personal problems, without running in every direction, as per usual in the summer months, when everyone goes crazy. No, it's actually very good. We're all in our places. I don't understand why disorder. Everything's very orderly. To the contrary, there's much more order than usual, to the point where the government, the health ministry are telling you, this is how you should sit in certain areas, this is how you need to drive, this is how you need to fly around if possible, this is how you need to behave in public places. Very good, no mess.
Really,
how do you see something positive in this whole picture? Dr. Lightman, I see positive things. Everything is very orderly. The coronavirus put some order in our lives. The fact that we're not happy to be more orderly, well, that's our problem. Dudi, what's positive that you see? Can you point to something? Look, this is positive. How can you see? It's all positive. So where? Where is the positive? Look, Lightman. Well, I have no job. I have to sit at home with my wife and children. Or perhaps we're let loose a bit, so we go out to also parks, all sorts of parks and the beach. But a little bit, with certain limitations, and gradually people are beginning to accept some guidelines which conflict with their egoistic nature. They feel like doing all sorts of things, figure eights in the air, but now everything is much more orderly. We're practicing, getting practice, getting these exercises to make us more orderly.
Shelley.
So the person is always a person that aspires to freedom, to Dr. Lightman. Not freedom, just a mess. I don't see it as freedom. I don't see it as good when everyone does whatever they want to do, what's good for them. No, I don't see that as freedom. We need to redefine the term freedom. Otherwise, it'll be something very far from freedom, and of course, the opposite of order. People need to know in what way they need to be arranged, in what way they need to behave, and how to live, so that each one of them has a place, has everything he needs, and so that he doesn't do damage to others, cause damage. Shelley, what is freedom? What is a good, positive definition of freedom? Dr. Reiner, freedom means that I don't feel pressured by anyone, and also I don't pressure anyone else. Shelly. So the limitations humanity is receiving, that's not darkness. Dr. Lightman, what freedom, what freedom do we have now? What freedom do we have if I have to live with a mask on my face, like a donkey, like a horse, etc.? That's not freedom, of course it isn't. Shelley, and these are stages on the way to building the true free man? Dr. Reitman, no, I'm not certain. I don't think this is necessary, but these exercises, for lack of choice, they are good exercises. Shelley, so from a higher perspective, you see this this process as positive, but people here on Earth feel that their freedom was taken from them. They're closed in, shut in, under pressure. So can you explain to us what this freedom that a person should achieve is? Lightman. I'm not the guardian, the legal guardian of the coronavirus. I'm not the defense attorney for it. I just want you to see that what's happening today is, well, we're being taught a new kind of order of you. So part of the process of development is such where nature limits human nature from doing everything that pops up in the will to receive. Dr. Lightman, doesn't limit, more puts in order. Of you, puts in order with respect to others, what needs to be, what? Dr. Lightman. It puts us in order as we need to be, not as we want to be. Like children, you take them into a classroom, you give them their seats, you say, look, this is your place. Let's have a sticker here with your name on it. And here next to you, there's your friend, here's a sticker with his name. And you sit here and you learn and you do this and that. You order them like that. What's bad about that? You understand that without this order, you cannot educate them properly, and that's what the coronavirus wants to do. Aviv, but what's the purpose of this order? Where is it leading? Dr. Reitman, if you ask the children, they don't know. Rather, you need to be on a higher place to see that after this order they will undergo transformations through the study. They'll do all sorts of exercises, works, and then they'll be ready to understand the new life. So there's an intervention, more active intervention from an order of a higher level to bring us to the next stage, and you see this as positive. Dr. Lambert, of course it's positive, because I haven't seen anything positive in our previous life. Now I see. So you haven't seen anything positive thus far, and now you do. Yes. So what wasn't positive up to now? Dr. Lambert, nothing. There was a mess run by the ego, and whoever was more cruel, more egoistic, more unprincipled, more unscrupulous, would succeed. And that's it. And so this life is now coming to a close. And also this, it's a process still. All the previous eras of socialism, capitalism, feudalism, communism, all those, can you point to something positive that happened there? No, Flagman, I see only their end as a positive. The ego, through all these formations, these forms, the ego grew until it became intolerable. And when it's intolerable, we have to shatter it and do something else. What? We have to do something to cause us to connect together without having a choice in the matter. Dudi, what is the next formation? Dr. Lightman, it's such that love covers all crimes, just not all at once, but gradually we will enter that. much quicker than it may seem. I promise to you that this will happen. We need to undergo a revolution in the minds of each one, but all the people in the world, they're going through it already inside. They don't know how to, they don't feel, they don't know how to talk about how to respond, but this is already happening in them. That's the virus at work. Duty. Why, after thousands of years, if not millions of years of development, something so meaningful and profound is happening so quickly? Dr. Lightman, well, that's how it works in many, many forms in nature. You have many, many years where a volcano is developing, gathering pressure, and then immediately, puck, or an earthquake, or a tsunami, etc. That's how it works. In anything you have, or in everything rather, you have a closed period where things are building up, and then an eruption. So what will bring a person to say, I need connection, this understanding? Dr. Lightman, gradually some people will understand and some will accept it, these changes rather. They will understand what needs to happen, and they will even become teachers and guides until this happens to everyone. But ultimately, everyone will accept it, first of all, by being forced, and later willingly. So the first thing he's going to understand, that's going to open up to him, what will it be that he didn't perceive before? Dr. Lightman, first of all, we have to understand that our world is integral. And a global law is in place. And we have to learn this law very well to learn how it works on us, how we developed over history to such an extent that today, to a place where today we are ready for a new kind of learning. Okay, so I want to pass to our next subject to focus on a more precise, a different problem, a different crisis, hunger in the world. Dr. Lightman, what? Yes, hunger, lack of sustenance, food. Dr. Lightman, is it happening already? Yeah, you have the first signs of it. The UN is warning that there can be hunger, that over 130 million people will suffer from. The World Health Organization says that it's not the coronavirus that will kill people, but rather the global crisis, the hunger that will follow. Now, even today, 820 million people in the world are suffering from chronic hunger, in Africa especially, and the coronavirus is just joining in with the great problems, the rains that harmed crops and so on, the floods. Do you think that we can come to a state where billions of people don't have bread to put in their mouth? Dr. Lightman, undoubtedly. Duty. And what's the solution? What I'm asking is, how can it be that humanity won't understand, Dr. Lightman, won't understand what? They simply won't have bread or water. Water is no less an issue than bread. Some place will have less food, some will have no water. Okay, so that's the point, because we're beginning to feel that we're in an integral system. We need to build well-oiled systems to help each other globally. How can we not deteriorate to that place? There's a light, man. We're not an integral system, we're not a unified humanity. And it's pointless to fill our minds with all kinds of theories that are out of place. Each of us is solo, alone. And if my neighbor dies of thirst or hunger, I won't even lift my finger. That's how it happens. Let's see where we truly are. A system where thousands are starving to death can't organize, get food. It's millions of people. Duty, we expect for there to be public pressure organization. Duty, who can organize? Even if there are people who think like me, I didn't hear about the group like that. They're not heard of. They're unheard of. You don't hear them. Also, I suppose this world needs to go through such a problem, such a blow, where after that, perhaps people will hear more. And I think you'll have millions, I think, that may die of hunger, thirst, disease. And this is a forced process? That people will starve of death and hunger? Dr. Lightman, not to die perhaps, but to suffer from it, yes. Otherwise people don't understand, they don't think in the right direction. Okay, so hunger isn't a problem with luxuries, right? It's necessity. You see, the coronavirus is harming mostly the luxuries, the redundant things, the boutiques, the coffee shops, the diamond market, but everyone has food. So why do you have a problem with luxuries and opposite that, a problem with actual bare essentials, necessities? Dr. Lightman, it's different levels of the same problem, the same blow. It needs to teach us where we live, how to arrange connections between people. So why does one half suffer blows of necessity, another one suffers in terms of his luxury? What is a person suffering from coronavirus should also be suffer from someone from not having bread, or Dr. Lightman? That we don't know. It's related to the root of the soul of each one. It's his personal fate. Dude, we're not going into all of that because you cannot explain to people why this happens or that happens. You want to receive answers yourself? The answers come only through connection. Everyone have to be in the right connection, and then accordingly to get the feeling that they don't have the proper connection and that they depend on it. That's it. Perhaps I don't explain clearly enough. Ask. Shelly, ask. Shelly, okay. See, humanity is in a period of great abundance, and suddenly hunger is striking. Is it symbolic of our relationships where we starve each other emotionally, or what? Why is there hunger when you have such great abundance? Dr. Lightman, seems to you that there's great abundance, but you'll see in a few months through to December, January, you see everything emptying up.
It all depends on the relations between people. If the relations will be good, even were we not to do anything, we'd still have plenty and abundance. So it's really like a kind of punishment, Dr. Lightman. No, it's not punishment. We're learning from this. Shelley, can we make this change in the period of time that we have until the blows will come, or will they come anyway? Dr. Leitman, it's better for us as quickly as possible to connect and come closer to one another, so that by this, we surely push death away. Norma. Yeah, it also has to do with the food crisis. There is a locust plague all around the world, in Africa, and it's moving to other places, also coming to our area, coming to South America, already exists in Argentina. And what the health organizations in Argentina say, that there is a field of an area of 15 kilometers that include about 40 million bugs. And it's spreading to Uruguay and Brazil. And the question is, actually, this shows us that it is a global and integral world, that the blow isn't just in one place, but that it includes all areas. What does this blow mean? It comes to teach people that they're very weak against nature and that they have no choice. They have to learn how can they cope with these things and against locusts. Only the way it was in Egypt, only connection between people can chase away this plague. It's something that it's the hand of God. Norma, can you explain? Dr. Leitman, it's impossible to explain. These are words that... No, you can't explain because wherever we cannot be united or connected, like in Egypt, to be as one man and one heart before we come out, before the Exodus, and so came the blows. The same thing now. Same thing now. We have to reach a state where we're really fighting for our connection, for a good connection between us. It's going to be a big problem with the food and no less of a big problem with the water. And water is even more important. Norma, it sounds like pressure on the most basic things, food and water. Dr. Leitman, what can you do with this miserable humanity? What? Yes, Dudi. Dudi, previously you said, and we'll ask just the last question about this, even if we treat each other... It's enough that we treated each other nicely, even if we don't do anything else, we'll have food. Even if we don't do anything about the crisis. Dr. Leitman, if we perform corrections on a higher spiritual level, all the levels beneath it fall into place. Then there won't be hunger, and there won't be locusts, and hurricanes, and droughts, and the fields, and nothing. Why? Because we, on our higher level, we made connection and peace there. On the level of humanity, what is the correction that humanity has to do in order to save itself from this plague, from these plagues? Dr. Leitman, I'm not sure that we will be able to do this, but we, with all our might, have to explain to humanity what's going on. We all have to enter a connection, a good attitude toward one another. to stop all of our foreign bad thoughts about each other and the cursing against each other, and for it to really be from the bottom of the heart and not simply from the mouth outwards, which is also good. So, you know, lip service, which is also good, but at least that, and this is how we can stop the plague. Dudi, what I don't understand is you're saying on the one hand that we won't have food and water. On the other hand, you're saying that no problem, the planet can provide for another 20 billion people, only we have to arrange everything correctly. What's the problem? The way we're organizing things, dividing, sharing, where exactly, the distribution, where exactly is the problem? Dr. Layton, the problem is that if we behave in a good and nice way, everything's going to be fine. And if we don't, then there will be nothing. Shelley, if a person, one person is making this effort now, suppose Dudi from the bottom of his heart, he stops the bad thoughts, the everything, the slander, will he influence other people for this to happen in them too? Dr. Leitman, I heard that there was this wise person called Bala Sulam, and that's what he wrote. You seem to me today as if, where did you land from? After a locust plague or what? What's up? So naive? What, you just want to irritate me? You can do whatever you want. I'm not up to it. Dudi, another topic, the legislation of cannabis in Israel. Dr. Leitman, of course. Look at Norma. Look at Norma. What a smile. The joy. Dudi, from her days back in South America, Norma, I never smoked. Dudi, after countries like many countries in short, and many countries in the United States, the legislation of cannabis is surging around the world, coming to Israel now. They want to make it legal and create a market for it. How do you see this direction connecting with the new world that we're entering now? I don't think that this legalization will make any dramatic change for the people of Israel or for the world. Who wants to grow it? And I'll tell you, 30 and 40 years ago, I had many friends that worked in the stock and the diamond stock exchange, and each of them walked around with this box, matchbox, and there they had cannabis. And what? What's the problem? People that wanted to could always find, and it wasn't a problem. It was never so illegal. So, what I think that will happen is that it's going to be worse for younger children, but not for grown-ups that have money. They could always, it's something that they could always reach. But for children, I don't know, probably they examined and saw that it doesn't pay off. I don't know why. I also don't know why don't the religious go against this, the religious population, but they agree to it. That there, of course, this is something that's common, as much as it is in favor or against the laws of religion. I have no idea. I never used these things, ever. And for me, it's a done deal. You know, to drink, you know, I drink, no problem, but drugs, no. That's it. Dude, cannabis is, on the one hand, it has different remedies, like it can help people with cancer, epilepsy. On the other hand, it gets you high, it distorts your perception of reality, can cause different other problems. Do you think about Israelis, I'm asking, can Israelis take this kind of drug and be responsible, use it responsibly? Dr. Leitman, Israelis aren't that inclined toward alcohol compared to the more northern countries in Europe, for example, or in the United States. But they're more inclined toward these things, and therefore, I don't think that it'll really do good to the Israeli society. I think that this is how things are going to be. This is how it seems to me. Dudi, if they'll permit it, if it will become legal, what's the right attitude toward cannabis? Dr. Leitman, I don't know. It's not my field. This is not my field. The question is, why do you support alcohol and don't support cannabis? Dr. Leitman, it's not that I support it, but that this was common for humanity for thousands of years. And also, my teacher used to do it to some extent, then I use it too. You know, alcoholic beverages. And also, you know, that I'm not next to you. Gilad Shadmon is sitting. Gilad Shadmon. Ask him, how much do I drink? He always sits next to me at the table. In most of the meals, I don't even drink wine. Or if I do, then it's something very, you know, I can't. And therefore, I don't know what to tell you.
Could it harm hurt the spiritual development that humanity is standing towards? Or can it help? This is in the Creator's hands. He will do it according to what needs to be done. Surely no one will run away from it. Cannabis won't help, LSD won't do anything. I'm calm about it. All right, we will complete with this. Gilad, can I ask about this? Rav, yes. Gilad, what Dudi is asking is, cannabis makes life easier. People take it for a reason. It takes away the suffering. It makes life more pleasant. It's nice to take all of these challenges, hardships, and make it more pleasant. Rav, I understand, Gilad. You know that there's certain times in my life that it would have been good to take it. But I never took it. I think a person doesn't have the merit, doesn't have the right to make what's coming from above easier. And it's not that the doctor was given permission to remedy. If it's painkillers given by a doctor, that's something else. But just to get high, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Where it's drugs, I don't want to get involved. We'll see according to the upper providence. Surely, in this time, where we had all of these drugs that for generations people would use, especially in ancient times. They would do all sorts of things with it. But I have no connection to it.
Odd.
More. Chaim. In the past, you spoke about a trend. You said that they'll ban the cigarettes and they'll then legalize cannabis. Rav, yes, that's what I said. Chaim. And now we see that's exactly what's happening, that there's a lot of advertisements against cigarettes, and all of a sudden cannabis is not considered this bad drug, and it's part of medicine, and maybe we'll see that it also comes in during free time, you know, recreational. You're very wise about this. Why don't you tell us? Chaim, why is this happening? Rav, I also have to talk about this. Look, you understand that all of the cigarette companies that were selling for billions of dollars. They were selling cigarettes for billions. And they did not respond at all when people started to speak against cigarettes, that they had to print on their boxes that they'll be causing death and cancer. How could you understand this? That it is so terrible? And you think it'll be better from cannabis? This is general politics. You see how it's happening all over the world. These big people came to the conclusion that that's what needs to be done. And they agreed, and they did it. They have a plan? Gilad, I don't want to ask what's the plan, but in future, instead of half the population to have these monetary allowances, and we will just get them high so that they won't have children and they'll just live their lives just high all the time. And what's the problem? We'll have less population. Gilad said that's just to get rid of the population. Rav, yeah. What do we need these large numbers of populations? What do we need them for? And so it won't be done with atomic bombs. It will be done over 20, 30, 50 years. They'll live nicely, pleasantly, and they won't harm others with pollution and so on. Chaim, in the past you said that drugs, in terms of spirituality, is forbidden, prohibited, because it disconnects a person from spirituality. Is that the reason why you don't touch these things? Is there something spiritual about it? Rav, there's something anti-spiritual about it. Chaim, by not touching it, that's a spiritual reason. Rav, yes, of course. Other than that, sometimes you might drink alcohol, you come back to your consciousness. But drugs, they change your brain. Your brain cells into something else, and that's why I don't use them, and I don't recommend them. Shelly, so what's at the root of it? I think people want to feel happy, and they don't manage to feel happy. Rav, yes. Shelley, so what does happiness need to look like? What does nature want to bring us that'll make us happy? Rav, happiness is a result of good actions. Let's start to do the good actions and learn to enjoy them. Chaim, you're explaining to us that the whole solution is in connection. Rav, yes. Chaim, and you explained that Kabbalists would use a little bit of alcohol to help them with that. Rav, yes. Chaim, when someone uses drugs, it doesn't allow them to connect if they feel more pleasant, if they feel it easier for them to connect? Rav, no. When it disconnects them. And what would they drink when they were drinking alcohol? They drank a bit of wine. They drank 15% alcohol or 17. You know, it's not these large numbers of 40% or 50% alcohol proof. And they would just drink a bit of, honey beer or these simple things that would even have just 8%. And now, even we have higher tolerance. Back then, they had a lower tolerance. They'd be completely on the floor from just that small amount. So alcohol doesn't disconnect you from reality, but drugs do disconnect you from reality. Rav, yes. No, it depends to what amount. Rav. Personally, I am against drugs. So many people, they don't see you. They don't understand you. What they see in front of their eyes is something else, and it's not you. Whereas, if he's intoxicated by alcohol, it's a bit more, and he's only a little less conscious. Gilad, we see that people who come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, they may come from a past of drugs, and they no longer need it after a while. Rav, they see that they need to enter with a healthy emotion and heart. To a healthy emotion and intellect. That's the way to enter spirituality, with a healthy mind and heart. Okay, I see that you have completely exhausted me with these questions, so I hope that you'll all be healthy and good. I'll stay with Owen. We will speak about the book, right? Yeah. Okay. And I am at your disposal. Whenever you'd like. Thank you, Rav. Thank you all, and know that the virus is long-lasting. It's staying with us for a long time. I don't know what to do about it. I would like to do some changes. I would like to have a congress, an assembly of some kind. But you see, it's getting worse. I already had dreams. Maybe have a little trip to Cyprus or Turkey, Greece. But no, it's all closed again. What can we do? Be healthy. And I'm waiting for you, Owen.
Bye-bye.
Toda lekulam.
Bye-bye all. And thank you all.